the talk is called The Bridegroom Comes for His Bride. And it started, this is where it started. I had this verse in mind. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that is in heaven, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So there is one presumption on that. He's already here, otherwise he can't go. And with our bride and bridegroom, there is one thing we do not understand in this culture. This marriage is an arranged marriage. It's a traditional Hebrew marriage where the father arranges it. So the father chooses a bride for his son. And in that tradition, there's a price to be paid for the bride. And so the father chooses a girl for his son. But he has to go away and prepare a place, a home for them. And then when the father has said, you go and fetch your bride and take her to that new family home. Now, I want to look at a pattern. In Hebrew, you can get patterns as prophecy. And that is important because what we're going to, I want to do is look at Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Eliezer, and then Isaac and Jacob. And we will see it, a pattern that was being played out in the old and repeated again in the new. So we'll start with Abraham. And it now came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. 2 points straight away. It's not, Isaac is not his first son, but it is his son, not by works. It is God's once a son through Abraham and Sarah. And secondly, it's the first time we have love mentioned in Scripture. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham rose early. Abraham's confident. He doesn't hang about. He's on the ball straight away. He knows and has walked with God for long enough to know. Suddenly he's out in the morning, two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to a place which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, I think that's far off is quite a way. If you look to here and you look to the downs, when you actually sit to think about how far it is to walk, that's quite a distance. So I think it's a day's walk. So it makes it 4 days, which is biblically good because then you come to the conclusion it's the same as 4 days, 4,000 years from Adam to the crucifixion. And Adam said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two went on together alone. We'll come back to that one. Interesting enough was, here's a hump of wood, which probably the servants brought up. Isaac is going to carry this wood. He is going to be a stocky built man to carry all that wood. Moving on, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Fair enough. And Abraham said to me, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. I want to change that because the AV doesn't say that. It says, God will provide no for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. The AV's got it right. Because if we provide for, he could put a lamb in there. But he doesn't. He provide himself, that is Jesus, the lamb for a burnt offering. Very important. So the two of them went together and they came to the place which is God had told them. Abraham built an altar there and the place the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. No chance. Abraham is 130, Isaac's 30. He's a stout big man. He probably comes in, well, I'm 80 kilos, so I should imagine he comes in at 100 kilos. At 130, you is not going to pick up Isaac and put him on there. Isaac laid himself on there. And that follows Jesus himself. He comes to the cross. He comes of his own. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Quite a challenge. But that's the confidence that Abraham had. But it's also the confidence that Isaac had, because Isaac got on that wood. Isaac didn't struggle, because if Isaac struggled, that would have been it. But Isaac lays down his life, and he has to have the confidence in God as well. And Abraham called the place, the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is today. In the mount of the Lord he shall provide. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply you, your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is already told Abraham. And that's why Abraham had the confidence, because God could not kill Isaac, or if he did, he had to raise him up from the dead, because he'd already promised Abraham that he will multiply his seed. And God had that. Which is on what? A seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In all your seed, all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed, and we are. You have obeyed my voice. So Abraham, now here's an interesting one. Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. There's something missing. Isaac. Isaac's not there. Isaac has been airbrushed out. And that's the beauty of this picture. Because Isaac is a picture of Jesus. So when Jesus goes to the crucifixion, he then rises back to his father. So it's just a lovely picture. And we will come back to this. A bride. Now, this is a bride for Isaac. And it's Abraham who is going to arrange it. And Abraham was old and advanced in years, and the Lord blessed him, Abraham, in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant, not given a name, of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among them, for my son, but shall go to my country. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Notice that the servant acknowledges God and will acknowledge God, but he doesn't have the same confidence that Abraham. And sometimes it's quite easy to be in that state where we see other people and we see the blessing of God on them and we can share with that, but it's not the same. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send an angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son there. And if the woman is not willing to follow, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham and his master and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camel and departed for all his master's goods were in his hands. And they rose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor, and made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, at the time when women go out to draw water. And then he does what we all will do, wouldn't you? No, not panic. You start to pray. And then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success in this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. And behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she say, drink, and I will also give you your camels to drink. And let her be the one you have appointed for your servant, Isaac. And by this I will know that you have sworn kindness to my master. And this is a lovely bit. And it happened before he'd finished praying. His prayer is answered. And behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. The thing that also, we're going to look at this. Now, the young woman was very beautiful, behold, a virgin, and no man had known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she says, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let down her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. One, until they have finished drinking. So she's gone down for one. She's going to have a negative two because she's going to take one back with her. And he's got 10 camels. And she's going down there probably 20 times. So this is a physical feat. She's she's used to drawing water. That's what women did out in that time. So she, and the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous. How many times he's just seen his prayer answered. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel, 2 bracelets for a wrist weighing 10 shekels. That's the second 10. 10 camels, 10 shekels if you're into numbers. And said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord, as you would do, and gave a lot of thanks when God has met you in your time of need. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and truth towards my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So she's done all this, and the next minute the woman ran and told her mother, the household, these things. Fitness. Now, Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to meet the man by the well. So it came to pass when they saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebecca saying, "This man spoke to me," that they went to the man, he's still at the well. There he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, "Come, O blessed of the Lord," acknowledging that God was in. "Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared a house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, unloaded the camels, and provided straw and feed for the camels, and to wash his feet, which was customary, and the feet of the men who were with him. And food was set before him, but he would not eat. And like, I think, all of us, you want to explain everything. You want to get unburden everything. You want to be free and tell them all the things that are on your mind. Then you can relax and eat and drink. And that's exactly what he does. He, and so he does. Does he not go on? Okay, never mind. So he gives, unloads these 10, several of the camels, because he's got servants, and gives the presents to Rachel, and gifts and clothes and other things that he's bought to both Laban and to Rachel's mother. Rebecca. Get it right. It's not there. Something's missing. So, okay, on we go. Now you can eat and drink. You've undone. You've done everything. You've done what Abraham had asked him to do. So we eat and drink. We go to bed. The next morning, but you want to get on. You want to finish. He's here to get a wife for Isaac. So he then says, "May I go on my journey?" But they said, no, wait. Let's stay around, as you would say. Stay around, social up for 10 days, perhaps. No, I want to get on my way. I want to complete that which I have been asked by Abraham. So off he goes with the 10 camels, the servants, Rebecca, and her two maids. That's part of the why he has 10 camels, because he's got servants and three extra people with him. And he's going on to meet Isaac. But Isaac, this was the lovely one I found, Isaac is elsewhere. It doesn't say where he was, but it's time for him to move. And he moves south to Beer La Rioh. Do you remember that bit? We had it early with Hagar, the well where God sees all sees me. So Isaac has moved up. Eliezer and the whole tribe of Rebekah, the servants, have all moved down. So they've moved to this well where God sees us. And in this interesting also, in that Isaac pitched his tent, and it says in the evening, and remember this is Gentile time, so it's just before sunset, which is almost the end of the day, isn't it? It's not the end of the day, but it's getting towards the end of the day. And he looks up and he can see the camels coming. It's Rebecca. But Rebecca sees the eyes, "My master." But that was interesting, because it was Abraham. Now it's moved on to Isaac. But Rebecca realizes that she's in a position where she'd be standing over Isaac. She has to stop the camel, get off, and walk, because she mustn't tower over Isaac. So she walks to Isaac. Otherwise, she'd be standing over Isaac, and that would not be right. Moving on again. And we're down to Jacob. Now, Jacob has, as Isaac, his father, well, it's time for Jacob to get married. And Isaac has asked him to go to find a wife, and he stipulated where he'd get his wife from. He's done the same as his father Abraham to him had. So Jacob is obedient and goes to the same place that Isaac had his wife. So to get through this quickly, he's journeyed and has come near to the well where they water the flocks. A large stone was on the mouth of the well, so now all the flocks would be gathered, and there they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, and they would water the sheep and put the stone back in its place. Well, the well, and Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "From Haran." That's where he's going. Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" They said, "Well, we know him." And so he said to them, "It's well." And they said, "He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." But it's not the right time of the day. But never mind. It's not time for the cattle to be gathered together and water the sheep and go and feed them. But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together, for they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep. Why? For she was a shepherd. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban's sheep. Wasn't the right time. They didn't do it at that time. She was there early. And then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative, Rebekah. And then it came to Ran and told her father the report, Jacob's his sister's. And then it came to pass when Laban heard the report, Jacob's his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. He told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are bone of my bone." And he stayed with him for a month. That's not what he came for. He came to find a wife. So in the dualist of times, he sees he's got two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. But Leah's eyes were delicate. I'm not quite sure what we're going to say. Was she short-sighted, long-sighted, or was there something else? But Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel. "So I'll serve 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It's better that I give it to you than I should to another. Stay with me." So you know the story. He serves 7 years for Rachel. And then it came to pass, at the end of the 7 years, they have a feast. And with feast, there's plenty of drinking. And in the evening comes Laban, "I want my wife." But Laban doesn't give him Rachel. He gives him Leah. And behold, in the morning, he's not a happy man. "I worked 7 years for the younger, but you gave me Leah." So he's deceived. And it says, what is beautiful about this as well, he has said unto Jacob, serve the 7 days of that Leah's due. It's like 7 days of honeymoon. You must serve out that time. And after that time, he gets Rachel. Also, neither of them actually are very good at bearing children, because both have difficulty giving birth to children. It says, when God saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel's was shut. And Leah goes on to produce 6 sons and 1 daughter, 7 in all, before Rachel produces any. That was very interesting. And it was mentioned to me, and I quite like the idea, that Leah represents gentle. So, yeah, moving on, before I run out of time again. Moving on to the New Testament now. Oh, one thing I didn't mention. Eliezer is not mentioned at that time. But if you go back in Genesis to 15, yes, he is mentioned, and he has a name, Eliezer. Eliezer means comforter, or one who brings comfort. Love it. Okay, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. What I took from this, that he's going to leave. He's going to leave. But what was also important, whereas a father chooses a bride, there is a price to be paid for that bride. When we had with Isaac, we had Eliezer with all those gifts that he gave to the brother and to the mother. When you came to Jacob, you had the 7 years for each of his wives. It was quite funny in a way, because he's sent to get a wife. He has a choice of two, so he gets both. Can't remember how he goes after this. A bride prepared. But also, just before we get on to a bride prepared, there's a price. And there's a price to be paid for us as his bride. And the price we pay is his crucifixion. Whereas with Isaac, a ram is found. But with Jesus, there is no ram. In the John 14, it's partway through a passage which goes from John 13 to 16. They have had the meal. They've done the washing of their feet. And now they're leaving the room. And they're going out. They go out of the city, across the Kidron Valley, to the garden. When they get to the garden, Jesus asks them, watch. And I think we would have gone, watch and pray. What happens? Snooze mode takes over, they fall asleep. Jesus is on his own. He's left with the Father. Judas has arrived. The disciples flee. It's still only Jesus and the Father who move on. Remember, I and the Lord will go on alone. And it's that same picture. They fall asleep. Jesus and his Father go on alone. And he comes to the trial. There's a fake trial. They beat him. But the Father's still there. And then he goes out and he's asked to carry his own cross, as Isaac carried the wood on his shoulders. So Jesus carries the cross. And so we can move on quickly. Jesus is then crucified. He has now taken the sin of the whole world. He's taken our sin. He has paid the price for us that we might go free. He has paid a price for his bride. Interestingly, he's paid in advance for his bride. He's paid it in advance. But he rises again. Hallelujah. And 3 days later, he's risen. 40 days later, he returns to his Father. John 14, I will go and prepare a place for you. That's where he has gone, to prepare a place. He's probably all done now. He's just waiting for Father to give him the nod. But he's gone. He's done what he did. And I had that phrase, job done. He's finished. He's complete. As he said, it is finished. But in John 16, we need this part. If I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit. What's he say in the margin? The Comforter. The one who brings comfort. And what was his job? He points us to Jesus. It's like Eliezer. He has come to point us to Jesus, that we might be born again and we might become part of the church. He is preparing the bride. And like in Genesis 28, it's not given the name Eliezer, it's just a servant. And the Holy Spirit is the same. He doesn't speak of himself. He points us to Jesus. And that is the blessing. He comes to find and prepare a bride for Jesus. And it's the Father who sends him. It's the Father who's organized all of it. So moving on, the Holy Spirit has one other thing. It leads us to Jesus, but he wants to change us to be like Jesus. It's so important. Now, we're going to move on to this. The bride is the church. And I love this one. Jesus, submit to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Doesn't tell the wives to love their husbands, does it? But you try and do all that without love, and it's just not possible. But that's the easy part for the wives. Therefore, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with her with the washing of water by the word. None of us can ever meet husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's impossible. Its demand is too high. We just cannot manage what's been asked. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, should be holy, without blemish. And that's what I wanted to draw out there. He might present her, the church, to himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she's holy without blemish. Well, that sounds good. And as much as I can say, Lord, change me, I can't be changed that much. I can be changed inside. And I can want, Lord, not to be rebellious, outspoken, high-minded, and everything else. But it ain't going to happen. Yes, but it will. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and he was here, but do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain unto the end of the coming of the Lord will by no means... The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes. The father and mother. It also says in Genesis, it also said that in the previous one. So here it speaks to us that the trump and those who are alive will be whipped away, as you put it in a way. We shall be raptured. But Jesus is coming to us. But what he's not going to do is come to this earth. He comes to somewhere outside. And what he does, he calls us out of this world. And when we leave this world, we leave everything that is death and bad. It doesn't go with us. We leave everything of this world behind. And we are caught up and we are given a new body. And now our salvation is complete, because now he has presented himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He has a perfect bride. We have what Paul says, what can I do with this body of death? Well, you leave it here and you go and you leave it behind. God gives us a new body, and that's why he doesn't come to the earth. He calls us out of this world and we leave it behind. Moving on. I can't remember what I did after that. That's it. That's it for scripture. But now, because I didn't put it all on, we are now caught up with Jesus, and he takes us, as he said, I have prepared a place for you. And he's come to take us to that place. But he takes us to that place for 7 days, because as with Leah, he's been asked to serve those 7 days. As with a wedding, it's for 7 days to which that wedding or marriage is to be consummated. These 7 days have a biblical time. It's the 70th day, 70th year of Daniel, which is the same as the 7 years of tribulation. That's why we do not go through tribulation, because we are called to that new place. So we're taken away for those 7 days. As it is true also, at the end of the 7 days, we have a celebration. And we have a get-together. The friends and the bride and Jesus are all there. Who else is going to be there? Matthew talks about the 10 virgins. 5 who had no oil. And they hear the sound, the bridegroom is and comes along at midnight. This one does. Why? Because we're now in Gentile times. Remember, Isaac went out and it was the evening just before the end of the day when Rebecca comes, his bride. In this time, it's midnight of the 6th day. It's the end of the 6,000 years. We go in and it's millennium. Hallelujah. My final verse comes from Revelation. And you all know this one, you should all know it. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. The Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. And he will. Amen. Thank you.